This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism, hashtag podcast, hashtag broad on Joy 94.9.
I'm gonna marry the night. I won't give up on my life. I'm a warrior queen, live passionately tonight.
You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
It's all mine. Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, and that's to the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands we broadcast to, and to pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present, and future. So, yes, a welcome to Broad here on Joy 94.9. Thanks again to Well, Well, Well for another fantastic show and very important stuff. It is the October 10, 2016 here on Broad, and it's been a very busy time, busy week, the past week, a lot of things happening. And tonight, well, firstly, that song, that's called Mine. It's by Sweet Tempest. It's from the Neon Demon soundtrack, and we'll be talking about the Neon Demon a little bit later as it gets released very soon, I believe, October 20, but I'll look that up in a moment. We've also got an interview with coming up first, National Birds, National Bird, that is the film, a documentary. We've got an interview with Sonia Kennebec talking about that film, about the drone wars that the Americans are, of course, running, I suppose you'd call it running, or applying to certain countries in the world. And we've also got an interview with Tracy Bartram from Choctober, talking about Choctober, what that is. We've got Michelle Richard from Alliance de France, talking about Les Blondes, which is a mini or a le petit a cinema de film festival coming up in Melbourne. Who else? My goodness. Just seems like a lot. But we've also got the return of Broadcast News with Jackie. Welcome.
Hello again.
Hey. Hey. So it's quite a miserable kind of Monday night, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, we've got some good news to start with if we want to go with that.
Yeah, one momento. Because yes. I know you're jumping at the bit for it. That sounds like a terrible expression. It is actually, because you know what a bit is, don't
well,
you?
Is that a horse reference?
It's in a horse's mouth. Stop them from chewing their tongue. Sorry, Baba.
I feel bad for horses.
So many animal references. But yes, yeah, so in a moment, the broadcast news on Broad.
From Australia and around the globe, this is the broadcast news.
Following up from last week's report on Poland's proposed anti-abortion laws, the Polish government is now slated to vote to overturn the bill to ban all abortion. Tens of thousands of people, dressed in black, went on strike and flooded the streets of Warsaw last Monday in protest of the anti-abortion bill, which was put forward by a conservative lobby group. Jarosław Gowin, the Minister of Science and Higher Education, said on Wednesday that the protests caused us to think and taught us humility. A win for the women of Poland.
Yay, Poland. Or Polka women. Polka,
yes,
I think they call
good
them.
On them.
Polka, Polaki.
Like, what a turnout.
I know. Fantastic.
And in sadder news, the largest ever investigation into reports of rape and sexual assault in Australian universities has had damning results. Under the Freedom of Information Act, the Sunday night television program found that less than 2% of sexual assaults reported between 2011 and 2016 have led to the expulsion of the perpetrators. The result looked at data from 27 Australian universities and recorded the number of sexual misconduct cases, reports of sexual assaults, and the number of disciplinary actions taken by universities against perpetrators of sexual misconduct. Many universities took no disciplinary action and denied the program access to the information in spite of the Freedom of Information Act, or failed to provide data in time for the airing of the program. In one case reported, fines issued by universities cost perpetrators of sexual misconduct less than a parking fine would.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's pretty messed up.
That's really bad up. Bad up. Sorry. Messed up. It's bad. It's just
awful.
We're
doing good at 9:08 on Monday.
I know. But, yes, that's just awful. Where can people find out more about? Do you have any?
Yeah, so you can find out
helpful?
More on Channel 7's website through the Sunday night program. They have the report up there, and they'll have links to all of the data there as it becomes available when more. I believe there are quite a few Victorian universities in particular that have asked for an extension to put the data together. So I guess that's got to go through like PR or something, which is pretty shady, frankly.
Yeah, shady, but maybe thorough as well. I hope so.
Hopefully,
who knows?
Hopefully.
We almost need like an independent group doing it, an independent study group.
Yeah. It's funny, universities asking for an extension, like, okay, but you get 10% off your mark for each day that it's late.
Yeah, that's right. Now, if you've got any messages about those news stories or anything you want to share and let us know here on Broad, we take feminism quite seriously, of course, you can do. Yes, just 0427JOY949, or of course it's 1300JOY949. They're just waiting for your phone call. We've also got an email you can use, onair@joy.org.au. And of course, we do tweet. I was going to say we do twit, but I've got nothing to do with pregnant goldfish.
Ooh, wow.
Wow. Okay, look that up in your dictionaries. But meanwhile, let's have a. Well, thanks for that news.
We'll have some more later on if we have time.
Yeah. We've got Sonia Kennebec now talking about National Bird and what is happening as far as the drone warfare in the US. Well, not in the US as such, but I don't know. We'll let her talk about that in a moment. This is Broad on Joy 94.9.
This is global. This is getting information anywhere at any time, shooting people from anywhere at any time, and it's not just one person sitting there with a little remote control, a little joystick, moving around a plane that's halfway across the world. That's not all there is. It's like borders don't matter anymore, and there's a huge system that spans the globe that can just suck up endless amounts of your life, your personal data. I mean, this could grow to get so out of control. And we're not the only ones that have this. This is going to be commonplace, if it's not already. It's a secret program. And what that means is that I can't just go shouting off the hilltops telling the public what it is. What I can tell you is that to me, one person who worked within this massive thing, it's frightening.
Thanks so much, Sonia. Sonia with an I. I'm with a J.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yes. So this is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9. And we are talking about something called National Bird. It's a film that's going to be playing for a very limited time, 14th of October to the 17th at the ACMI or ACME here in Melbourne, Australia. And I've got the filmmaker, the person responsible. Tribeca have called her one of the, you know, important women directors. A welcome to Broad, Sonia Kennebec.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So can you tell us a national bird? We've got it as national bird.
Australia, the main title is National Bird, and then there's a subtitle, Drone War.
Can you tell us what the film is about?
So National Bird is a documentary film about the U.S.-led drone war, told from the perspective of veterans and whistleblowers who worked within the drone program with top secret clearances, and victims and survivors in Afghanistan. So essentially it's a film about the people, it's about the human side of the drone war.
Yes, I mean, that's what makes it certainly different from a lot of others. And looking at three veterans in particular who certainly been traumatized and affected, of course, by their role, I guess, and how they feel responsible for drone attacks in places like Afghanistan. What drove you to make this film initially?
So my background is in investigative journalism, and particularly, you know, stories about military veterans, war and conflict, you know, war trauma. I was curious to find out more about the drone program because, you know, it obviously had been, you know, 3 years ago when I started the research, there had been articles, but they were mainly written by, you know, journalists and military analysts and kind of just, you know, commenting on the issue of drones. But there wasn't a lot of information coming from within the drone program. And also, you didn't really hear the voices and the stories of people in the target countries who were, you know, directly impacted and affected by the drone war. And that was my intention. I really wanted to tell the story of the people, you know, of the people from the inside. And that, of course, is one of the biggest challenges, you know, the people who work in the drone war have, in the drone program, military personnel, they have top secret clearances. We had to be, you know, very careful and cautious. And I've been working with lawyers to make sure that, you know, we would protect them as much as possible.
It's a new type of warfare that is intriguing, that it comes across strongly in the film, and the dangers of that, you know, that being so removed from essentially an actual, you know, war field, a war zone as such, but from a distance. Actual people in the documentary says it's not science fiction, you know, but yet it's quite science fiction, really. It's very scary.
It seems to us, or to me at least, you know, when I first, you know, heard about the drone war and read about it, it's like something from a science fiction film, but in fact, it is, you know, a weapon of choice for the Obama administration. It is being, you know, used a lot in countries like, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, other places around the world. And we don't really get a lot of information about this type of warfare. It's important that we have transparency, we have a discussion about this type of warfare, and it is, you know, it is a global weapon. So I think it's important to have international regulation for the use of armed drones.
Now, for Broad, we're a feminist show and love to talk about and support women's stories. And just to change track for a bit, for your own story, Sonia, as a woman and as a filmmaker, what was your experience like making this film, do you think, as a woman?
I think it's very important that women make these types of films about national security and war and conflict, because first of all, you know, when you have a woman directing behind the camera, I think we have a different perspective than men. I think, you know, a man would have made a completely different film. And when I went to Afghanistan, it was very important for me not just to interview the men in the country and the male and victims and survivors, but also the women. And the women wanted to talk to me. They wanted to speak openly in front of camera and talk about their own experiences and their feelings and what they had been through. And that's why I think it is important for women to, you know, record these types of stories. And yes, this is, I think this very clearly a film, you know, a war documentary, a national security film. But people have remarked on the fact that have a lot of women in front of the camera as well.
Yes.
And not sure, you know, we have a lot of women behind the camera, but we also have a lot of women, you know, leading us through the stories. We are following, you know, the stories of women. Hi, this is Sonia Kennebec, and I'm listening to Broad on Joy.
Yes, Girls Rock Melbourne, in collaboration with Listen Records, have put together an all-ages alcohol-free evening to showcase a diverse array of female and non-binary-centric bands, featuring the Girl Frieders, Swim Team, and DJs Jess Ribeiro and It Girls, to name a few, held at the Thornbury Bowls Club on October the 31st. This empowering gig will help raise funds for the Girls Rock Melbourne Camp, coming up in January 9th to the 13th. In 2017. So for more info and tickets, head to Eventbrite or find Girls Rock Melbourne on Facebook. This is a community message supported by Joy and, of course, by Broad here on Joy 94.9, because we believe girls rock, don't we, Jackie?
We sure do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Look, it's a great initiative. It's basically for kids under, I believe, young girls under 18, roughly school age, I suppose you call it, and giving them a chance for some workshops, collaborations. They put together some music. They learn some basic fundamentals about being in a band, making a band. Then at the end, this, I'm talking about the thing in January, not the 31st. That would be too much. But then at the end of that three-day course, they present their band to the world.
What
so they
a cool
go
initiative.
On stage and they
what
play.
Fun. Also,
I know.
Turn them into punk rock feminists while they're young.
Exactly. That's what we all need to do. Shred those guitars while you're on a skateboard, whatever it takes.
Amazing.
But yeah, hello, metal. Female metal, that's what it's all about. So yes, if you've got nothing better to do on Halloween Eve, which is Monday night here in Australia. Oh, dear. But in any case, that's okay. Look, you can rock out with Girls Rock Melbourne and head on down to the Thornbury Bowls Club on the 31st. I can't. And dress up. Maybe go Halloween. Are you doing Halloween this year, Jackie?
Yeah, I have quite a lot of friends who always have Halloween parties
do
on.
A feminist so, Halloween.
Oh, that's the dream. I always have to pick between parties. It's a bit sad.
We're going to have a party here on Broad.
Oh, amazing.
We're going to be doing Horrific Women.
We should show up in costume. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it's radio.
We'll post photos. That's what social media is for.
Speaking of fun, we've got Tracy Bartram. I spoke to her earlier in the week, although saying that it is Monday. But I spoke to her about something called Choctober. And if you listen very carefully, you'll hear the pain that I go through. So it's a bit of a sizable chunk of chocolate, this particular interview, but it's a worthwhile, very worthy fundraiser that is now on. It's on now, and it's all about giving up something special and precious to most of us, chocolate.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful. I'm going to cry now, but... Yeah, I've been a bit scratchy. I've got to say that much. More than usual.
I think everybody's sick at the moment. That doesn't help.
Oh, we're going to say everybody's sick of you at the moment. That doesn't help.
Never.
Never, no, not really. This is Tracy Bartram, and this is Broad on Joy and 94.9.
My beautiful chocolate. My chocolate. My chocolate. My beautiful chocolate.
No plebiscite with Tracy Bartram, comedian, radio personality, very experienced woman, and she is one of the Choctober ambassadors. What is Choctober, Tracy?
Well, Sonia, host of Broad on Joy FM. Choctober is, I think, one of the best brand names ever. I mean, it just makes you feel all warm and gooey until you realise what it's about.
Hungry.
Because, well, yeah, okay, so I will say, I will stand up and be candid and say, hi, my name's Tracy and I'm a chocoholic, and I need to be in a support group for my chocoholism, and I consider chocolate my first love. It's never let me down. It's always there when I want it. You know, sometimes I've gone down for a pretty wrapper, but I've ended up pretty disappointed. But, chocolate to me has always been there. However, Choctober is about being abstinent from the eating of said chocolate for the month of October.
Just cruel.
It is cruel. However, there's a great message behind it, and that's what I love. Now, Recklink Australia is a Melbourne-based national charity, and it's a wonderful organisation. And you've probably heard of the Community Cup, where two other great community radio stations, Triple R and PBS, play a fantastic footy game every year. And they totally supported Recklink for a long time, and it's a great fundraiser. And I really wanted Joy to be involved in Choctober, because the whole idea around it is that the money that we raise for Choctober goes directly to create and sustain programs for disadvantaged women and girls. And as we know, well, let's face it, it's as Australian, and it's still not an equal playing field when it comes to looking through the gender lens. And the disadvantage could be anything from homeless, domestic violence, which, Sonia, as you know, is an epidemic in this country.
Yeah.
It's just out of control. And it doesn't seem to matter, you know, how many groups are forming to say we don't want this. We know it takes time to turn the ship around, but it's still out of control. Mental health issues, you know, being differently abled. I've got plenty of friends in that area, and they said, we don't want to be called disabled, we're differently abled. And I think everyone is differently abled. Mm. We don't know. Everyone's got their own issues. And anyone who might be thinking, well, you know, what does that mean? Depression is a mental health issue. Anxiety is a mental health issue. Recovering from addiction is a mental health issue. So if we look at that huge umbrella of disadvantaged and marginalised, that's a lot of women and girls, and they don't get enough airtime. You know, we've just got to look at women's sport, and that doesn't get enough airtime because sport in this country is a religion, and it's only when people like Michelle Timms get inducted into the Hall of Fame that we go, oh yeah, she's an Olympian. You know, Australians are really good at netball. But what Recklink does is create arts and sports programs for disadvantaged girls and women, and also for boys, but Choctober specifically is targeting the females. And so what we're asking people to do is go, yeah, think about how uncomfortable it is. And I can tell you, as someone on day six or seven today...
Oh, my God.
Without chocolate, yeah, I'm about to chew off my...
So you started early. You started early. You jumped the gun.
Well, no, I started on Choctober the 1st, which happened to be grand final day.
Oh,
and
yes.
And which is, you know, as we know, grand final day, whether you're interested in the sport or not, but go to the Dogs, so happy they won. you know, it's a day of great chocolate consumption. But I can tell you I abstained because it was day one of Choctober. And so we're saying, look, it's not too late to think, yeah, I can do this. And so what we're asking people to do is go think about how uncomfortable it is to go without chocolate for a day or a week or a month. Mm. And if you can look at that discomfort and in all jocularity, but think, okay, if that makes me feel uncomfortable, it's absolutely nothing compared to what disadvantaged women and girls go through with some of those issues, like homelessness and mental health, and that it's ongoing, and dealing with services and dealing with bullying and dealing with sleeping rough and all of that stuff. And so what we're saying is, could you please join us and say, yeah, I can do that. So there's two things you can do. You can go to choctober.org, which is choctober.org, and it's an Everyday Hero page. And so you can either take out your own page and say, you know what, I really want to do this, and we ask people to share it on their social media. And I'm saying to people, I don't care if you give me $5. I'd love your $5 million donation, but if you give me $5, my personal goal is to raise $2,000, and I think I'm up to $227. But it's early days. But we're also saying to the businesses, this is a really great corporate social responsibility opportunity. And because Joy has always been on the front foot of standing up for the marginalised, it's not just about the GLBTI community. It's not about that. This is about values, and that's why I think it's such a great fit with Joy. Because I mean, I've done so many equal love rallies and standing up for the rights of same sex couples. And can we just say, damn that plebiscite! It can't go through.
Yeah.
It can't go through. And if you're against it, ring Bill Shorten's office and say we're against it, and make sure you get on the phone and say, stand strong. Don't back down. It can't go through. It's just, we know we can't. But if you ring them, it'll really annoy them. And it's activism is about political agitation without being violent. So,
well, look what they did in Poland, the women in Poland. They managed one protest. They striked for one day and all of Poland, all the women of Poland, well, as many as they could, and to stop the ban on all abortions that was going to be put through Parliament there. That means any abortion was going to be completely illegal. So they had a big protest, and it worked. The protest worked. All the women went out on the streets, the ministers backed down, and it just shows you that was just one day's protest in Poland.
I mean, that's the thing. We know that people power works. In fact, because we're on Broad and, talking about women's stuff is my favourite thing to do. I was thinking about, as you were talking about the women in Poland, there's a movie I saw several years ago called Pray the Devil Back to Hell, and it was created by Abigail Disney, who's the grandniece of Walt Disney. And there was one philosopher who said he thought that Walt Disney was the most dangerous person on the planet because of the rubbish images that we're sold as children and the happy ever after and, the whole hetero thing. But so this movie was about these women, these Christian women in Liberia who were under the regime of this horrendous dictator who was giving drugs to nine-year-old children to turn them into soldiers. And the women decided they were basically going to just pray and have a prayer circle and literally pray the devil back to hell. And one of the police officers was a woman, and she said, she'd heard about this, and she said, I came and I saw what was happening, and I went back and I told my Muslim sisters, and we joined the women. So the Christian and Muslim women sat every day dressed in white, and they created this sitting, and they did it for months and months and months. The dictator ended up in The Hague, being charged with atrocities, and he's in jail, and it's all because of people power. And we know that. We know that.
Being visible is really important.
And, yeah, that's right. And civil disobedience, just sitting in, not being violent, not being bullied, just saying, we don't want this. And we know in Australia, we don't want a plebiscite. We know that 75 or 80% of the population want same-sex marriage. We know that we don't want domestic violence. And from Choctober's point of view, we're saying we don't want women and children to be living as second-class citizens in this country when we're a first-world country that we still treat women shabbily.
Yeah.
And so the Choctober banner is a really fabulous idea and it's great fun. But underneath it, we're saying, can you come with us? Can you decide, you know what, I'm going to give up chocolate for a month and I'm going to raise some money and I'm going to share that on my social media. And if you don't want to do it, can you make a donation? And you can go to the Choctober page and, I think I'm in the top 10 because I'm highly competitive. But, but the thing is, each person's page is a goal of, I think, $700. But my personal goal is, because to keep the programs running that we want to keep running at Ricklink, we need $200,000. And it sounds like an awful lot of money, but there's a lot of businesses out there who who maybe haven't found something that they can connect to, perhaps might want to think, you know, I'm a small business and I don't have a lot, but I could give X amount to Choctober and become involved as a supporter of Choctober. And any business that does that, they go onto our website. It's a fantastic community. It's like the Joy community. When you get involved with Joy, I mean, I've been involved with Joy forever. I love Joy. I think it's one of the most important stations in the country, if not the world. And you're doing what no one else is brave enough to do, which is talk about the stuff that we never see on mainstream media. And, and I wanted to say from my heart, I was so broken to hear about the bomb threat recently at Joy, and it didn't even meet the bloody news in Melbourne. I hung my head in shame because if it had happened at Channel 9 or Channel 7, it would have been the lead story. But, you know, we're talking in CBD in Bourke Street, and no one picks up on it. I just think that's disgusting. Doesn't want the plebiscite. And so we've just got to keep saying no to that, saying no to domestic violence, saying no to women being marginalised. And we would love it if Joy could please help us promote Choctober. And Sonia, so great that you've had me on today on Broad, because it does my heart good.
Yeah, it's important. It's really important. And RecLink will be, with the proceeds, they'll be funneling that to gender-specific grassroots programs as well.
Yes.
Targeting some of these disadvantages and
that's right.
in the community, which is really essential. Because
it is.
You've seen Destroy the Joint, that Facebook page.
Oh,
they,
yes.
They do the numbers of how many women have been murdered by people they know, by men.
They know.
Yes. And it's up to 52, I believe, at the moment. It's just terrible. Yeah. Really, really terrible.
It's shocking. But it's like when Jill Maher was murdered.
Yes.
You know, and I didn't know Jill, but I was working at the ABC at the time. And, if a woman can't go for a few drinks and walk home to her own place.
Yeah, just around the block.
In a place like Melbourne, that's just, it's
screwed.
Atrocious. And,
screwed.
But it's really about changing attitudes, and because we know that, and there's some wonderful, I've seen some amazing stuff. There was a really great ad just recently where it shows little boys bullying little girls, and it says, you know, nip it in the bud now, because if they're doing it when they're little boys, they're going to do it when they're big boys.
Oh, yeah, that's scary when they're big boys.
And so on shows like Broad, having those conversations and saying, you know, why aren't we supporting women more? Because it has to happen. We have to do it. And in the terms of, in the work, you know, with Choctober, just saying, look, we know we're going to give up chocolate for a month, and it's going to be painful and horrible. But you know what? It's nothing compared to what those women might be going through. And we were all little girls once, and there's, you know, I was a frightened little girl. I grew up in a house with an alcoholic dad who was, you know, very unwell mentally, and he's not with us anymore. But and I've forgiven him, and I've done a whole lot of work on that. But you know, I grew up in a really, really anxious environment, and you know, that's had an enormous impact on me as an adult in my recovery from addiction and with my mental health issues. And so that's why RecLink is so, I'm so passionate about it. It's so important to me, and why Choctober is, it's in its nascent stages. You know, we did a little video a couple of years ago, and you know, we are a charity. We have no funding for publicity, and we've just decided, okay, this year we're just going to do it. We're just going to see if we can raise some awareness, because I would love Choctober to become as extremely successful as Movember, which is also an Australian initiative. And look what that's done for men's health and prostate cancer awareness. So Choctober can be something that grows every year, and I think it will, particularly, you know, with the people who listen to Joy, because the people who listen to Joy are people who are interested in community.
Life without chocolate, it can happen, but it's painful, but it's for a good cause, and you've got to remember that. It's for the RecLink. It's a very good cause. It's really important.
Choctober.
Yeah.
And just choctober.org. That's all you got to do. Go to choctober.org. You can set up your own page. If you don't want to do that, please make a donation.
Yeah, sponsor
make
someone.
A
sponsor a crazy friend who will be crazy by the end of the month.
Yeah, and maybe I'll come in and bring some chocolate in next month and we can binge on it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's good for radio, the sound of chocolate being eaten.
I think so. I think it's really important to do a show and tell with lots of audio.
See this? See this chocolate bar?
Yeah.
Gone.
And you can find us on Facebook. It's Choctober Oz, AUS, and the hashtag on Twitter is Choctober Oz.
This is important.
Can I ask you, Sonia, even though we've started Choctober, could I convince you maybe to join us and give up chocolate for the rest of October and maybe take out your own?
Do you know what I bought this morning?
What?
Well, look, it was on special. It was, you know, and it's organic. Organic chocolate. Sorry.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, what about if you said, okay, I'll start from tomorrow for the rest of the month and I'll set up my own page. And I'm not putting you under any pressure at all, not at all.
Just,
you know, I would love it if you would be a partner in crime with me, Sonia, and have your own Choctober page. Do you reckon you could do it? Go on, Sonia.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll submit. Oh, my God.
Okay, well...
You know it's not fair on other people, though.
What do you mean? Oh, because you'll be such a super uber bitch.
Yeah, more so. Yeah.
I tell you what, I will make sure I drop in. I will. In fact, right now, Gemma, who's handling our fundraising, I'm going to ask Gemma, please get in contact with Sonia, find out what size she is, and we're going to send you a T-shirt for Choctober so that you can wear that and just tell people to kick out of your way. All right?
This is not going to be easy.
No, but you've got me. And I'll tell you what, if it gets hard, we can talk.
We can be buddies.
Yeah. So I reckon, you know.
Non-chocolate buddies, right.
We could have a chat once a week going, we're 2 weeks in, we're 3 weeks in, and we can inspire the broad listeners to come with us and support us.
So, that's a good idea. Yep, cool.
Let's have a week for October.
Broads say no to chocolate.
Yeah.
Mm. For Choctober.
So enjoy the chocolate that you've got now. And every mouth will just say to it, Hugh, I love you, I'm letting you go for Choctober. And so enjoy it and then know that from tomorrow you're into Choctober. Because we say to people, it doesn't matter if you've had chocolate already, just give it up for the rest of the month.
Yeah. Okay.
Easy.
This is...
You will get brownie points in heaven for this, for giving up the chocolate.
Oh, you mentioned the word brownie points.
I know, I love a brownie. I'll tell you what, there's a deal. The first day you're on air in November, I will come on air live and I will bring in chocolate brownies and coffee.
Oh, my God. All right? Okay.
I will bless your chocolatey heart.
You're mentioning that word again. Okay.
You're gorgeous fraud. And thank you. Can I just say thank you to all the Joy listeners, the whole Joy community. And again, say no to the plebiscite, say yes to Choctober, and we're all in this together. Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Tracy. All right, you're up for it.
Sonia.
I'm up for it.
Okay.
Bye.
Hi, we're the Girl Freeders, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
I'm Bryony Kidd, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Bob Canvey, writer, director of Under the Shadow.
Hi, I'm Oliver Roscoe, one of the producers of Under the Shadow.
And
on Joy 94.9.
I see 20 or 30 girls come in here every day, mostly from small towns with big dreams. And they're all good. You're going to be great.
Beauty isn't everything. It's the only thing.
She has that thing.
Look at Jessie.
Who wants sour milk when you can get fresh meat? I know what I look like. Women would kill to look like this. Having a party or something? You know how my mother used to call me? Dangerous.
Yes. This is Broad on Joy 94.9, 17 minutes to 10, not long to go now, Jackie, but we are looking at films for feminists. I could play the tag, but we just don't have time, really. I do have a specific tag. And that was the trailer you probably heard a bit earlier about the Neon Demon. It's finally making it to a more of a selected, a bit wider sort of audience as well. The Nicholas Winding Refn, 2016 French and US and Danish production, the Neon Demon. It's pretty much the flavour of the year, I would say. I'd suggest that it is, if you know what Suspiria is, it's pretty much Suspiria reinvented for our times, I believe. And it's about a young woman called Jess, and she's very young. She's, well, there are spoilers here, but let's just say she's not the 19-year-old that she says she is. She's underage. She's pretty much a minor, I guess they call it in the US, and she wants to make it big on the runway. A catwalk, yes, to become a model, because that's what every woman, a young girl, aspires to. So without being too cynical, and you probably hear the sarcastic tone in my voice, this is pretty much, I guess, the film version of, of the opposite of another film we're going to talk about shortly, Equity. Basically, it's about this young girl, Jess, who has that special something, the factor 10, or whatever they used to call it, factor 9, factor 10. I don't know if that's the blood clotting agent, but in any case, she has that factor of success that all men's gaze does, you know, require and admire. And so in the modelling world, there she goes out into that world, only to find, of course, that there's bitchiness, backstabbing, and quite a lot of hunger for what she has. Other girls don't so much admire her, but they would love to have. And so there's this, if you know Suspiria, the film by Dario Argento, you will know what I mean. It's like a modern Neon Giallo-esque film. So it has some thriller aspects. It does have some horror in there. And it's also probably one of the most seductive pieces of cinema I've seen in a very long time. With the tagline, "Beauty is vicious," it certainly is. It stars the fabulous Elle Fanning, Abby Lee, and another Australian as well. So there's a couple of wonderful Australian models, real life models, and they're also now turning themselves to actresses. Jenna Malone is fantastic as a lesbian makeup artist, and there's the wonderful Keanu Reeves, who's not so nice in this, but hey. Yes, so is this a reincarnation for our times of Suspiria, and is this about witches? Is this something more supernatural? There's a lot of interesting levels of things going on in this 2016 psychological horror that was a huge hit in the Melbourne International Film Festival and now is, like I said, getting that release. Christina Hendricks also appears in that. She appeared in Drive, of course, back in 2011 with Refn's breakthrough film. But this is the one that I think everyone's going to copy, let alone with such a wonderful soundtrack by Cliff Martinez returning. You may remember him from the Drive soundtrack. This is a sample. So it's got that wonderful retro sort of synth punk sort of deep house style. It's actually co-written by two women, Mary Laws, who works in American television, and Polly Stenham, who is pretty much a, les enfants terribles, I guess you could say, of the stage in London. And as I mentioned, it's been a big hit. Did well in Palm, Cannes, for the Palme d'Or was in the running. It came third. It's a vicious film, nasty, but I really did enjoy it. Now, Mary Laws is one of the writers who did the screenplay. She also worked on Preacher, that TV series. I'm not sure. Do you know that one at all?
No, I haven't watched that one.
Yeah,
sounds
sort of
intense.
Supernatural, you know, good preacher, bad preacher, things that Catholics do. I don't know. Bad things, good things. So she's worked on various things like that. And then Polly Stenham, who I mentioned, the English playwright, her play The Face, or That Face, she wrote that at 19. So it's got a very precociousness about it, and it suits well for film director, of course, Nicholas Refn. Wending, I don't know what else I can say about this film, except go and see it. It may not be for you. It might be something that you find absolutely terrifying. It's been considered a cross between absolutely disgustingly misogynistic to liberating and feministic. So I'm not sure depends how you take it. But when you do see the credits and that there are women involved in it, one has to sort of, yeah, think about that.
Sounds polarizing.
Polarizing. There's lots of polarizing. And we're running out of timerizing.
We are indeed.
We are. Because there's some heaps of great films coming out for Films for Feminists. One of them, of course, is Wednesday, May the 9th. And this is the Vahed Dajalian's award-winning debut feature, centering around a benevolent act, and that is a man who decides to give away thousands and thousands of dollars to the most deserving poor person. It's set in Tehran, in Iran. It could be now. You know, it is made in 2006, well, it was released 2016. Very competent film. It won the Fipresky Award, and it did very well at Venice International Film Festival. And also the strong female protagonist that it has in there, even though it is made by a man, it certainly gives you that Iranian realism that they have in their films to shine a light on contemporary situations and what women are involved in. One young woman gets married to, I'm spoiling it here, gets married to another bloke, but she's not supposed to. She has to marry him in secret because he's not good enough for the family. So there's lots of class and religious overtones in this film that you never hear about much when it comes to Iranian films, really, unless you know what you're looking for. It's not mainstream at all, so it's a very selected cinemas that's released. It's already out there, released on the 23rd of September. But there's also, speaking of Iranian films, is Under the Shadow, and this one is one of the breakthroughs, I think. Just a fantastic little film from, actually made in Jordan, because they can't make certain films in places like Iran because of the repressive regime there. But Under the Shadow is, it is done in Farsi, which is the second film to be done in Farsi language. The first one being A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. And this is Babak Anvari. It's his directorial debut. It's about a mother and daughter who are haunted by a mysterious evil entity in their house, in their apartment in 1980s Tehran, during the war between the two cities, between Tehran and, well, it was the Iraq-Iran war in the 80s. That was one of the longest running wars, actually, outside of, I believe, the Western world as such. And it's an amazing film. If you like spooky horror haunted films with a lot of meaning and metaphor, you're going to love this film. It is also out very soon, I believe. No, it's actually out already. Sorry about that. It's already showing at selected cinemas like Nova here in Melbourne Town. My goodness, we are going to run out of time.
Should we get on to the Alien first?
I think so. I think we might have time for that, do you think?
I think we do. I had to cut out so much good stuff from that interview. So listen to the podcast when it's up online,
yeah,
at the full interview.
Okay.
He's got such a great voice.
Well, he's French, and we do like that. So, yes, message us if you'd like to, 0427-JOY949, 1300-JOY949, or on air at joy.org.au. And our Twitter at BroadFem949, if you've got anything you want to say. Any films you can suggest, I'll put the rest of those up on the Facebook page. So, yes, The Neon Demon. Check it out if you want to. Wednesday, May the 9th, it's already playing in selected cinemas. And Under the Shadow, another Persian film, which is pretty creepy and spooky and awesome feminist film from the Iranian culture. This is Broad, and this is me, Michelle Rashad, talking about Le Blondes here on Joy. This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9, and we're in the studio talking about something really wonderful that is happening in Melbourne Town. We have Michelle Richard, the director of Alliance Française de Melbourne.
Hello, Sonia.
Hello. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Very happy to be here.
All right, let's look at what's going on, because it's going to be at the Asta, a very interesting mini film festival, I suppose you call it.
Yeah.
And it's called Blondes.
Yeah, that's it.
Did I get that right? Le Blondes. So what can you tell us about that? It looks intriguing, with some of the most iconic actresses in French cinema.
Yeah, it's a selection of very, for us French people, very important classic movies. They are all iconic, ranging from the 50s to the 70s, and with iconic actresses like Catherine Deneuve, of course, the most blonde of the French blondes, Romy Schneider, too, who was German, but made the most of her career in the French cinema. Jean Seberg, who was American, but made a lot of her career in French cinema too. Simone Signoret, who is a real icon, and Brigitte Bardot, of course. Brigitte Bardot.
Can't miss Brigitte Bardot.
No, you can't. You can't. No. We'll have a selection for the opening because we open the classic film festival Les Blondes with Viva Maria, which is a film made by Louis Malle, maybe the most American of the French cinematographers. It stars Brigitte Bardot and Jeanne Moreau. I don't know how to pronounce it in English. Jeanne Moreau.
Moreau? Well, I remember her.
Another icon of French cinema.
We're looking at Jean Seberg as well, from Breathless.
Yeah.
So what makes these women stand out and be so strong, and they're almost like a parallel they can meet head on with a lot of the male characters that they play opposite?
What is interesting is in this selection is that, well, the perspective of each movie overtaken by women. And it's rare that male filmmakers had such a sense of what a woman is. And this movie are typical, I would say. They film the actresses very well. It's like they are their substitutes. The filmmakers and all these movies, are set by a female perspective, which is very, very right. They are not objects at all. Men are more objects or are more caricatural than women in all the selection.
Well, what's a highlight for you out of all of the films, and who did you choose them?
I did it. I curated this selection of movies. Well,
I guess you like all of them then. In that case,
No, I can't say it.
No,
it's too English. No, my favorite. Really, it's difficult because I love them all very much. The most French, I would say. You know, you catch the spirit of what is to be French is César and Rosalie. Caesar and Rosalie with Romy Schneider and Yves Montand. There's something very typical of French mentality, culture. Well, it is set in the 70s, so things have changed since.
Considerably,
But it's something very French. But my favorite is Le Sauvage, undoubtedly.
Right, okay.
Because it's funny, it's very smart, you spend a very good time, it's exotic, the actors are fantastic, Catherine Deneuve is beautiful and so funny, and she acts like, really, like a man. She's very... She's the contrary of her image.
Okay.
And it's sheer joy, and it's very well done. All the scenes, the way it is screened, all is perfect in this movie. It's my favorite.
Look forward to it. So can you tell us where people can go to find out more about the festival?
So they can go on the website. It is ifclassicfilmfestival.org. And they can also go to our website, Alliance Française de Melbourne. It is ifmelbourne.com.au. And to the Palace Cinema website and the Astor website, where the festival takes place.
Yes, I'm looking forward to, I think people should go and see these on the big screen, you know. You might have seen them on SBS, on the small television screen, or on your laptop or your phone, but that's not really the way to experience good cinema.
No. It would be just perfect. And, you know, to see a classic, if you have the chance of seeing it on a big screen, and such a big screen at the Astor, it will make all the difference.
Thank you so much, Michel Richard, Director of Alliance Française de Melbourne.
Merci, Sonia. Your French is perfect.
It's improved since you've been in the room. Yes, so thank you very much, Michelle Richard. We will put the full podcast up very soon, as soon as possible. Thank you. So that's Le Blondes. That's from the 4th of November to the 6th of November. A little wee petite cinema, Les Femmes, at the Astor in St. Kilda. Magnifique, magnifique. Speaking of magnifique, Equity is a film that I should have talked about. It's fabulous. It is unusual because it's about women in Wall Street. It's the Wall Street that we've never had, a female Wall Street. And it's been 28 years that it's been a topic of such a type made into film, which is really unusual. So not since Working Girls with Melanie Griffith. This is a lot different. The women take the helm here. They're not running after the men. In fact, they're trying to control the men from a ballsing up. Very interesting film. It stars James Purifoy as Michael Connor, Sophie Van Hasselberg as Maureen, Craig Burko as Benji Ackers. It's got some good casting there too, with Anna Gunn as Naomi Bishop, a woman who is a broker on the big Wall Street trying to become what they call a rainmaker. And if you know what that is, well, look it up, folks, or go and watch the original Wall Street with Michael Douglas to find out more. I think it was Michael Douglas. I could be totally wrong and I've screwed up. So anyway, it is playing now at cinemas that are very selective, including Nova in Melbourne Town. And thank you, Jackie, for being part of Broad again tonight.
I do my best.
Yeah. So podcasting next week, and next week we've got some awesome feminist DJs coming in on the show, and yeah, probably some more interviews, no doubt. We'll get the podcast up with those three, with Tracy Bartram, Michelle Richard, and Sonia Kennebec later on this week. So thanks for listening. Up next, Bite Me Down Under. I think she's already doing it. This has been Broad on Joy 94.9. Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune in to us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.